Today, may you experience love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all you who love our Lord Jesus with an undying love as you celebrate his goodness and mercies to you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that you are a God who deserves praise. We worship you and adore you. As we open your word and look at this psalm, we pray your spirit will speak to us and to our needs and create within us the desire to worship you as we never have before. In Jesus' name, amen. John and Tom were neighbors. They were farmers, and they were visiting with one another, and they wanted to go from John's farm to Tom's farm, and to do so, they would normally walk around the pasture of their neighbor, Tim, that was in between, because Tim had a bull that was quite mean. But whenever Tim would go away, he would always put his bull in the barn, and Tim had been gone for a couple of days. So John and Tom thought it was safe. They started walking across the pasture. They got about halfway there, and they felt the ground move under their feet. They were not in love. They were in danger. They looked over their shoulder to make sure that what they thought they felt was what indeed was taking place, and sure enough, the bull was bearing down upon them. They weren't particularly religious men, but Tom quickly said, "John, put up a prayer. We're in trouble." John responded, "I can't pray. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "You must," said Tom. "The bull's catching up to us." "All right," he said as he was gasping for breath. "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." What do you do when you look around at life and there's not a whole lot to be thankful for, and some of the things that you're facing you don't want to face even? The scripture that was read this morning was the last part of Psalm 28. You can open your Bibles to page 460 in the Pew Bibles, Psalm 28. And it's easy to start with verse 6 where it starts out, "Blessed be the Lord." But we need to notice the context in which it is written. It begins with David experiencing a tough time of some sort. He's got some enemies and they're after him. We don't know the exact issue. But he starts out by saying, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest you be silent to me, and I become like those who go down to the pit." David is experiencing a time when God is silent. Have you ever had one of those times? You pray and your prayers seem to go no farther than your nose, let alone the ceiling. And you say, "God, where are you?" It was one of those times when trouble is around, when difficulties arise, and you're wondering why God is allowing this to happen to you. Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he answer? It's the same thing that James talked about in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, and let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing." You see, David's in this time when God's silent, and he needs to hear from him. He needs to hear from him for two reasons. Number one, the first reason is put out in verse 2, evildoers are assailing him. The second reason is put out in verse 3, though an army encamps. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong chapter. Verse 2, "Hear the voice of my pleas when I cry to you for help. I'm pleading, I lift up my hands towards your most holy sanctuary as I plead," he says. And then the first reason is given in verse 3, "Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts." And that word for evil is the very one that is used of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the word for rebellion. "God, as I'm facing this, don't allow the fact that you're silent to get me to the point where I rebel against you." Don't let me get downcast. And then he goes on and he says, I want you, God, in verses 4 and 5, I want you to deal with the wicked according to as they deserve. It's not that David is seeking revenge so much as he recognizes that the wicked are calling right wrong and wrong right, and it looks like they're winning. Kind of sounds familiar to our day, doesn't it? He looks around, he says, Lord, if the wicked win, if they continue to be blessed by you, we are going to lose everything, and your name will be assassinated among the other nations. Don't let that happen. That's the circumstances. God is silent. David feels as if he might be on the verge of losing his own spiritual experience if God doesn't do something soon. And the wicked seem to prosper, even though they call wrong right and right wrong. And in the midst of that kind of frame of mind, you would think that David would go on praying, God, where are you? God, why don't you answer? But he does not. I want you to notice what he says in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. That word blessed is interesting. To bless in the Old Testament means to endue someone, to acknowledge their power for success. He said, blessed be the Lord. God, I know you will be successful in hearing me. And then he goes on to say, listen to and hear the voice of my pleas for mercy. This translation says, the King James Version says, hear my supplication. I discovered something very interesting as I looked up this word in the Hebrew. What it really means, my supplication, it's the request. Now listen to this carefully. It's the request of an inferior to a superior when the inferior has no basis to make a claim. You want me to translate that for you? It's the awareness of a human being that they need the grace of God. They need God's mercy. And he says, I'm coming to you, I'm pleading for mercy. But he doesn't stop there. He said, he praises God for a couple of reasons. And the word praise in the Old Testament, the primary word means two things. It means to praise with hands extended. Oops, that's uncomfortable. But it's there many, many times. And it's the idea of we're reaching out towards God, and it's the same idea of a child who holds their hands up to a parent and says, Mommy and Daddy, I'm here. They're praising God, but they praise God for a specific reason, because of who he is and what he's done. And he goes on to say, the Lord is my strength and my shield, in him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. I want you to notice the three things he praises God for. That God, first of all, in verse 1, is his rock. And that word rock means something that is solid, something that is enduring, something that doesn't change, something you can count on. It also reminds the Israelites of the time when they were in the wilderness and God provided for them by bringing water out of a rock. God, you are the rock who's there for me, who provides for me. The second thing he says is, you are my strength. You are my strength. And that's the recognition, not just that God is strong and powerful and mighty, but it's a recognition of his might and power, and includes in that recognition a call for God to use his might and power in David's behalf. And the third part of God's character that he calls on is that you are my shield, the one who covers and protects us. In this time of uncertainty for David, when God seems silent, at this time of uncertainty, he's losing his spiritual trust in God, at this time when right seems wrong and wrong seems right and the wicked seem to be advancing, he says, blessed be the Lord who is my rock, who is my strength, who is my shield. And as David gives that cry and he makes that proclamation in the temple, other people hear it. And notice the reaction. David says, the Lord is the strength of his people. He is a saving refuge for his anointed, those he's called to be his own. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. And the translation here is very good. Be their shepherd. King James Version says, feed them. It's the idea of the shepherd caring for his sheep. And carry them, carry their burdens for them forever. You may wonder, that's an awful kind of different Thanksgiving sermon, Pastor Gary. As we face a time in our nation's history when the financial realities are becoming harder and harder for many, many people, at this Thanksgiving, let's take time to thank God and to bless Him for who He is and what He's done in spite of the circumstances. As we face a time when God doesn't seem to be listening to many of our prayers and things aren't changing, let's take time to thank God for who He is and the blessings He gives us each day. As we think about a time in Earth's history when right is always called wrong, apparently, seemingly, and wrong is always called right in advertisements, in what is promoted on the airwaves, let's bless God and praise Him and extend our hands to Him because He is our only hope. Let's remember that He is our rock who is faithful. Let's remember that He is our strength and call upon that strength to meet our needs. And let's remember that He is the shield who will cover and protect us regardless how dire things get. And it's not just in the realm of finances that we face troublous times. It's in the whole political area where people, men in places of responsibility, men and women have no answers for the problems we face. It's in the realm of the spiritual world where it seems so quickly the end could come so soon. And it'd be easy to say, God, why can I withstand all this? And instead we need to say, bless the Lord who will be our rock and who will be our strength and who will be our shield regardless of what we might face because of our faith in Him. And so this Thanksgiving, I would just like to remind you that we do have much to be thankful for. We do have much to be grateful for. We do have life. We have family. We have God's blessings of protection that we aren't even aware of. And we have, above all, the One who is the rock, the strength, and the shield of our lives. Just going to ask, just for a minute or two, as Frederick plays the organ, there's a blank page on the back of the bulletin. Would you just take a moment to write down two things that you want to praise God for His character? And then write down two things that you want to praise Him for what He's done for you. Two reasons you're thankful for who God is, and two reasons you're thankful for what He's done. Not 20 years ago when you were baptized, Stan, or however long it was. Not when you came to know Jesus, however short ago along, but something He's done for you within the last few weeks. What is it you're thankful for? I'd like to encourage you to do one more thing with this list. I'd like you to ask God to bring someone to you that you can share what you're thankful for with this year. Family, friends, acquaintances, whoever might need to have that encouragement from your praise of God, just as David gave encouragement to others in his praise of God. Because your thanksgiving to God is your declaration of thanksgiving. Every year the president makes a proclamation for Thanksgiving. You need to make one as well. What are you thankful for this year? I want to conclude with just a brief poem. It might spur you on to think a little bit more. Count it all joy. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends and not your foes. Count the smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count the kind deeds you've received instead of the mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. But above all, count on God instead of yourself. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, you are an awesome God. You are so mighty and powerful. And when we go through difficult times, you do not abandon us, but as the dramatic reading said, you will never leave us. We cling to those promises. As we leave this place, may we do so with the assurance that you are with us and will continue to bless and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave, I just